I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
People have, you know, unique impacts on us, right? Friends, family, but specifically friends. You never really know the impact you have on somebody else. But, you know, I remember my first freshman varsity wrestling trip. When I was a freshman in high school, we were going from Klamath Falls to Reno, and I'd heard that there was initiations that kind of took place randomly, and so I was a little bit aware that the possibility existed. You know, for me, and being the, you know, towering, imposing figure of 4'11" and 98 pounds that I was, I figured that, you know, there's possibly a good chance that, you know, it was in my future. And so we left at pretty late night, late in the night. And so we drove through the night, and I didn't sleep very much or at all. And so my eyes were kind of wide open, wondering when and how and what was going to happen. And so I remember, you know, right around 3 o'clock in the morning, as the sound in the back of the bus, because remember, I was a freshman, so I wasn't in the back of the bus. It was right near the front. And so the sound got a little quiet in the back of the bus, and so I was keenly aware that something may happen. And so the shadows moved. I remember there being a lot of medical tape, and my body was in positions I'd never felt before. And so, you know, so they have a profound impact on us, right? It was a great experience. My first time, I felt like it was their job to help me remember this moment. You know, and then other times in my life where other people have had great impact on me. I remember when Kristen and I were first married, we were brand new parents, and we were traveling from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, to Portland in this little Toyota car, and we were on I-82 there on the other side of, or 84 on the other side of, you know, the Columbia River there, and our car breaks down just outside of Portland. And we didn't have a cell phone. Remember, I know I look 25, but I'm really not. And so just slightly older, so we didn't have a cell phone because there weren't any. But anyway, so yeah, I know you're surprised. But so we had to get Sydney out and walk across the freeway, both lanes, catch the road, and walk, man, I don't remember how far it was, but it doesn't seem like, it seems kind of crazy that we were doing this, but we were. And we walked down the road, and we got to the nearest gas station, and we called a friend in Newburgh, Oregon. Only friend we had. Actually, it kind of seemed that way. But anyway, so it was he paid for our car to get towed and then gave us $500. And at that time in our life, we were just... I mean, it was the biggest act of grace that we had seen in a while, and still to this day, Paul Gunther is a hero of mine, and he is one amazing person that has done so many things for so many people. You never really know the impact you have on somebody else, and that's what I want to talk about today. There's this story with Jesus is kind of the focal point, but there's some things happening around him that I think are pretty incredible. And so if you can, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It's where it starts. And this is what it says. It says, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who's this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say get up and walk?" But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, go home. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Just a few things in the story that I want to kind of talk about. So many things we could draw out, but one of them is when these friends could not find a way, they made a way. Think about this for a second. Imagine this room just packed to the gills, standing room only, and you needed to get something to the front. It'd be a challenge, not a small challenge, a large one. If I put myself in their shoes, I'd probably be one of the first friends to be like, hey man, this didn't really work out today, sorry. Hawks are kicking off in about an hour. Got kind of a tight schedule, right? I mean, there's a lot going on. We gave it a run. It was a good try. Sorry, but just didn't really work out. But it wasn't really good enough for them. And this one stood out to me because it seems like we run into obstacles in our lives. And I don't know if you're like me, but there are times when I'm surprised by the challenges. As if I expect everything to go smoothly. But we run into these challenges maybe in our marriage or our job or our work, and we throw up our hands or we get disgusted, we get cynical. We find something to complain about. We find somebody to complain to. Wallow in the misery, sometimes medicate the pain. But these guys, it was different. See, it wasn't good enough that the house was full. It wasn't good enough that they couldn't get to Jesus. So they did something kind of crazy. I mean, they went upstairs, they went on the roof, and they lowered this guy right in front of Jesus. I'm going to say it again. They right in front of Jesus so he couldn't miss it. In between him and the crowd. I think the placement is unique, and I think it's interesting that they wouldn't let him miss it. It's kind of hits home to me about a week ago, a little over a week ago. I had a manager's meeting at work. We had the Northwest region together, and there's been some changes at our company that I've been in charge of leading, and our meeting didn't go very well last week. And between Friday and Tuesday, right as I was getting ready to prepare this, it's interesting timing, but I was frustrated. I was done. I was, you know, looking at resume writing. I was thinking about so many different other things to do other than continue where I currently am until I come to this passage and this whole story. And it was like God asked me, you know, Chris, are you really surprised that you're facing challenges? When we started this process, Chris, you would have, and I asked you, you're going to get some pushback. Are you ready for that? Yeah, I am. But now that it's here, I'm surprised, and I want to throw up my hands. I want to quit. I want to blame it on everything else, and I want to talk about the lack of vision, the lack of direction, and I want to get frustrated at the things that are happening. What is it about us sometimes that when we face these things, we immediately want to go the other way or get frustrated about it? But this is a reminder to me that when there is no way, sometimes you need to make a way. But sometimes we need to find a way. I don't expect these things to be smooth. What about when it comes to our kindness or love? What about mercy? It's easy to give up on mercy and easy to give up on love. It's easy to give up on kindness when it's not met with the same kind of passion that we're exhibiting. But kindness doesn't always come easy. And I think we need to show the same tenacity in our service, the same tenacity in our grace that these guys showed. I think Jesus, the other thing I wanted to talk about is that Jesus saw their faith. It's an interesting statement. Because faith seems invisible to us, but their actions made it very visible. Their actions reflected their thinking. And I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I get really, I get really narrow-minded in what I think about faith. Sometimes church attendance, singing at church, reading our Bible, prayer, worship, only significant actions of faith. However, Jesus sees these much more clearly and sees much more than we do. Paul talks about it a little bit when he wrote a letter to the Romans. He said this in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I like it in the New Living Translation. He said it like this. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." God is so in tune with our thoughts, with our actions, and our intentions. More than we are, and we're unaware of how in tune he is with our thoughts. When we act, though, in line with his character, it has an eternal impact, and he sees our actions that way. What's in line with his character, with grace and kindness, with gentleness, with perseverance and patience, all of these are expressions of love. And those of us who call ourselves Christians or followers of Christ should be the leaders here. We don't need to worry about who is the best at it. We just need to do more of it. I think the other thing in here that I like is it says that Jesus forgave his sins because of their actions. Think about that for a second. I mean, we go back and look at this. There were no prayer Bible studies about what to do. I mean, it doesn't record like a small group devoted to Thursday nights about how they're going to get their friend under the roof, right? I mean, I don't remember like a community fasting event in this story that says, I don't know, we need to get this guy up on the roof. So how are we going to do this? He just saw that it needed to happen and made it happen. And Jesus forgave his sins because they climbed up on a roof with a mat and their friend on it and lowered him down. I grew up in a conservative Christian heritage where I was taught the four spiritual laws. And there was an idea that those needed to be prayed every time a person receives salvation. Or a belief that a person needs to consciously admit that their need for a savior. But this doesn't have any of that. In fact, his sins were forgiven just because they climbed on a roof and lowered him down. In other words, our act of kindness and our acts of grace and our acts of mercy can lead to a spiritual change in a person that we are completely unaware. The depth of change in a person's life because of our act of mercy or kindness is absolutely astonishing. I mean, we have no idea the kind of depth it'll change, the kind of movement that creates. Their life, it wasn't their prayers, their life is their prayers. And I don't want to diminish prayer in any way. You know, that I'm speaking to their action and taking him to the roof and lowering him down, and I don't want to diminish prayer in any way. I still think prayer is obviously an integral part of what we do. I just can see how our actions affect how God acts. Next thing that stood out to me on this is that his forgiveness wasn't good enough. The leaders in the room, the religious leaders, they saw it as blasphemy, and blasphemy is those of us that are taking actions of God as if it were our own or not giving credit to him, or people acting as if we have the authority of God. And Jesus was doing this on purpose. He was speaking about spiritual things, especially in this moment. He was talking about forgiveness on purpose at this time. He wanted them to know, here's why I'm here and here's what's important. This is one of Jesus' first moments where he took, instead of just teaching the scriptures, he took it a step further. And so when he began to talk about forgiveness and it was coming from his authority, the religious thought this was way out of line. So then he asked them a rhetorical question, and in doing so, did something else. He replies out loud to their thinking. Right? You guys ever talk to yourselves? Nobody? Oh, man. I guess I'm the only crazy one. You just answered me, didn't you? In your mind, you were like, yeah, you're crazy, Chris. I ask myself questions all the time, and sometimes I answer. You look back at it, it says, Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you to get up, take your mat and go home. And immediately he stood up, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. When Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, everybody was angry. The room was frustrated. But when he says, get up your mat and go home, pick up your mat, to a man who couldn't walk before, now they're excited. There's this interesting dichotomy where a man's healing internally wasn't seen with as much value as him getting up and walking. His forgiveness wasn't good enough. That relationship with God, that intimacy with God, wasn't valued wasn't valued as much as the physical healing. Have we gotten to a point in our life, for those of us that have been following Christ, where that's lost its value? I was listening to Pastor Judah speak at City Church a few weeks ago when he was talking about how sometimes in this Christian life, we get stuck into wanting more. We want to read more, and we want more knowledge, and we want more passion, and we want more faith, and we miss and forget about the beauty and simple nature of just knowing Jesus, that the incredible privilege it is to be forgiven and have an intimate relationship with Jesus, to be his friend. That moment is powerful. And it wasn't good enough to them. But Jesus asked this question, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? I want to stop on this. He was responding to what they were thinking in their heart. And you know, I think sometimes we get wrapped up in our prayer and how we pray and how we approach God can keep us from approaching him more. Sometimes we think we need to beg God for him to do something for us, as if he's so high that we have to approach him in a sort of ongoing begging sense. We need to ask him with persistence, and we need to be in the same place at the same time every day, or when we pray, it needs to be dear Jesus and finish with amen, or it's not heard effectively. I think it's important to understand and really let it sink in that he was seriously tuned in to their thoughts. Jesus is so aware of what you're thinking, so aware of what you're feeling. And I mean on this level, where maybe you're facing a challenge in your marriage or in your job, and maybe you're in a situation where some of the decisions in your life have brought you to a point where maybe you're just, you're kind of paralyzed from making future decisions, right? And so there's this, internally, we have this war, right? We wrestle with ourselves. It's those thoughts that Jesus sees and understands. It's those doubts and questions where you're not sure how to proceed. It's that moment right there. It is those thoughts that he really speaks to and that he understands. It's when your head, you put your head in the pillow at night, or you wake up in the morning and you're insecure about what you're going to do with your future and you're worried about your ideas and dreams. It's those thoughts right in that moment. Before we even consider the right way to pray. We know we need to. It's that moment. The genuine, humble, broken, authentic moment, that right there. And that is actually a prayer. That's the prayer. It's freeing to me that I don't have to follow a pattern to speak clearly for him to hear. The more genuine I can be, the more it opens things up. Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? He said, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. It's a crazy question, isn't it? What's easier? I mean, if I were to answer this, which, you know, he's asking, so I'm going to answer. Well, Jesus, I think it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because there's no way to tell. I mean, it's easier to say that, right? I mean, your sins are forgiven. Great, it's easier to say it. There's no way to really know. It's all internal, nothing external. But to say get up and walk, that's way more of a challenge. But to God, what does it require? Healing, right? Nothing really. I mean, if we take into account that he maybe is, possibly is the creator, then this is just moving a little dirt around, isn't it? No, dust to dust. Okay, so, you know, maybe it is a little bit like my dad said when I was a kid, just rub some dirt in it and you're good, right? So healing for him is just moving a little dirt around. He's just patching things up, a little patch and repair, and we're on to the next. One word and it's done. It's an act of beauty for him. It's a part of his divine nature. It doesn't take anything from him. It's just a part of his character and nature is healing. But forgiveness, that's a whole different ballgame. That's something completely different. It involves taking on humanity himself, embracing this life with all the love and joy and pain that comes with it, the temptation that comes with it, the betrayal that comes with it. From doing the right thing and being in the right and having everything, you know, intended correctly, but paying the ultimate price for it. Jesus could say, I forgive you, because of the cross that was coming, but more importantly, from the tomb he was walking out of. All of that in the future was why he could say, I forgive you. So what's easier? Something that comes naturally, or pain and suffering that you must embrace because of forgiveness you're offering now? This forgiveness is pretty cool. It's unbelievable. It's the ultimate one with the universe moment. With the ultimate one. This moment of forgiveness, the grace and mercy we receive in exchange for our brokenness. And it's an exchange that's not tendered from afar, right? It's not sent. It's not a long distance exchange. It's on such an intimate level. It's an exchange in our soul. An intimacy that can't be explained any other way. It can only be embraced. I think this intimacy is something he continues to offer on a daily basis. It's this intimacy that he even brings to you and me, even today. Would you pray with me? Father, Jesus, our Creator, our Savior, our friend, you're the one who is light. Jesus, you are the one who illuminates this dark world. You illuminate the darkness in our thoughts. You clear up the scary places in our soul. It's clear that you see and hear and understand what we don't see. It's clear that you see and understand what we think, even in ourselves. Will you help us be aware today what we should respond to with you? I want to ask you guys a question. So I want to ask you, maybe you find yourself today needing a change or a challenge that you've been struggling with. Maybe a pattern of decisions that just keeps finding its way up and you've been dealing with the fallout of that. Or maybe you're having trouble finding a way through some challenges in your life and you just can't seem to get around it. You've been wanting to throw in the towel. You find yourself emotionally giving up. You find yourself emotionally disconnecting. You're finding yourself wanting to take a step back. And or maybe you're in another spot where you find yourself looking for more from Jesus than just forgiveness, where maybe that's really lost its luster with you and you really wanted something more from Him. And maybe you find yourself in here. You can wrap your mind around Jesus and you're having a challenge understanding Christianity. You can understand who He is, and maybe something in your soul that is drawing you to it, but trying to connect all the dots is a challenge. Well, maybe this morning we just need to not worry about those things. I just want you to maybe just respond in your heart and mind with just a thank you. Jesus, I'm having trouble finding a way. Let them know. Say it in your own words. Jesus, I've been looking for more, but I just want to say thank you. Jesus, thank you for seeing all the insecurities and weaknesses we have. Not being threatened by any of the doubts. Not being scared by the things that we think are unbelievable. Father, would you help us be aware of what you're doing in us and what you want to do through us? Thank you for believing in us, Jesus. In your name we pray.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.